Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see everyone here this morning, and especially great to see one of our new members here. If y'all haven't met Bear over here, it's great. It's great to see him. So, we're continuing today in our study of these seven qualities, character qualities, in 2 Peter chapter 1. So, if you have your Bible, you can turn with me there. And once again, I'm going to read the first 11 verses here. You'll be real familiar with these verses by the time we finish this. It says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that His divine power is granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you. Would you pray with me a minute? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you have preserved your word down through the years. Lord, thank you that your word is alive and powerful and penetrates even the heart. Father, we pray that you'd use your word in our lives today. Lord, we want to be more like Jesus. I pray that you'd use this passage of Scripture to that end. Lord, transform us by your grace and make us people who reflect your glory. And so, Lord, as we look at this passage today, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Looking at these qualities, one man has said that basically these qualities are the proof and evidence of a saving relationship with God in Christ. The proof, this is the outward evidence that a person has experienced God's saving grace in their lives. It's so important that we see these character qualities developed in us. Today we're coming to this fourth quality, it's called perseverance. But before we delve into that, basically what I want us to do is look at it, just remind you of a few key points that I think important to keep in mind as we look at these. First of all, I want you to see that we're supplying what God provides. These aren't qualities that we produce in our own strength and effort. It's not something that we fabricate. It's not that we have to come up with these. We basically supply these as we tap into God's resources, the things that He has for us. And we supply what He provides. Secondly, I want you to see each quality builds on the previous one. I mentioned this before and need to say it again. If, in fact, there's a failure in one area, it's going to affect what follows. There's going to be this domino effect. And so it's important that we build. We're building a structure here, one thing upon another. Thirdly, I want you to see these qualities ought to be growing in our lives. None of these qualities are going to be there in their fullness. We're always going to be lacking. But what he says here in verse 8, for these qualities are yours and are increasing. That's the important thing. They need to be increasing in our life, all of them. And we're never getting to a point where we say, okay, I've arrived. And so we can look at failures in our life, and that's fine. We're going to see failures, but they need to be increasing these qualities. Fourthly, these qualities make us useful to God. And again, in verse 8, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The people, the men and women that God uses in His kingdom to advance His kingdom are those who reflect His qualities, His character. We're to let our light shine before men so they'd see our good works and glorify God. Why do they glorify God? Because they see a godliness. They see these character qualities in us. God wants to be glorified through us. Fifthly, our redemption is the motivation for developing these qualities. If you look in verse 9, notice what it says. He who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. He's lost sight of what Christ did for us when He redeemed us. He redeemed us. He bought us back. And even in 1 Peter 1, it says this, you were redeemed not with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. We lose sight of that sometimes, what God has done for us. Even in Romans 8, in Romans 5, it talks about how God was raised Christ from the dead so that we would walk in newness of life. God intends for us to walk in newness of life. We're to be different. And those who are not different, those who are not striving to diligently supply these qualities, have forgotten what they were purchased for. They forgot what Christ did for them. They've lost sight of that forgiveness that we have in Jesus. And then sixthly, these qualities help us feel secure in our relationship with God. And notice what he says down here in verse 10. Be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. We're to make diligent. We're to be diligent to make certain that God has indeed called us, has elected us. People often say, how do I know if I'm one of the elect? This is the reason. This is a way you can know that. As you see these qualities developed in your life, there's going to be a growing confidence and assurance in your relationship with God. There's going to be this testimony, the Spirit of God bearing witness with our spirit that we are indeed children of God. Now today we're going to be looking at perseverance. And as we look at perseverance, first thing I want us to look at is basically, what is this? The Greek word here literally means to remain under. And of course that raises the question, what are you remaining under? Well, you're remaining under the hardship, the difficulty that may have come your way. You're remaining under this struggle. You're going through a difficult time. The King James Version has patience. And that's really not a great translation there if you were to use King James. Patience has more to do with how we interact with other people. Like in Ephesians 4, it says, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. When you talk about perseverance, we're talking more about your relationship to things or circumstances and so forth. The ESV has the word steadfastness. The New Living Translation has the word endurance. And that's a good word, long-suffering. That's what he's calling us to do. Now, there are numerous examples down through history of people who persevered, who demonstrated this quality and very important. The 19th century inventor Gale Borden demonstrated this quality in his life. Gale Borden was obsessed with condensing food. And in fact, his first effort to condense food was a meat biscuit. I have no idea how he tried to do that, but it was a failure. That's why you don't see it in the supermarket today. But he was on an ocean voyage, and there were children on the ship there that were getting sick by drinking contaminated milk. In fact, four children died. He became obsessed with, I've got to condense milk, got to find a way to transport milk where it doesn't make people sick. So he developed this vacuum process, a vacuum process to remove water from the milk. And of course, we have condensed milk today, and that made him a fortune. But he had to persevere in that. In fact, on his tombstone, this is what he has written. I tried and failed. I tried again and again and succeeded. Walt Disney was a man that he worked for a newspaper for a time, but he ultimately got fired because he lacked ideas, which is sort of funny. He also went bankrupt several times before he began Disneyland. Henry Ford went broke several times before he made it big as well. Thomas Edison spent a lot of time working on the light bulb. In fact, what he said was this, I didn't fail 1,000 times. The light bulb was an invention with 1,000 steps. And he also went on to say this, our greatest weakness lies in giving up. The most certain way to succeed is always to try just one more time. And you see how important this perseverance is. A lot of you have seen this about Abraham Lincoln. Look, failed in business, 1831. Defeated for legislator in 1832. Second failure in business, 1833. Suffered a nervous breakdown, 1836. Defeated for speaker, 1838. Defeated for elector, 1840. And it goes on down and finally elected president in 1860. What would have happened had he given up? Perseverance is important. Perseverance just simply saying, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to let this dream go away. I'm not going to let people tell me it can't be done. I'm going to keep working at it. I'm going to try it one more time. Now, what we're talking about today is a little different. And Peter is talking about perseverance. And this is in the spiritual realm. What does it mean to persevere in the spiritual realm? I think essentially what we're talking about, what Peter's talking about, what Scripture talks about, is that we don't give up on the promises of God. We cling to the promises of God, even though it may seem like they are never going to become a reality. And we're going to keep believing, and not only keep believing, but we're going to continue to walk down this path of obedience that God's called us to walk. The reality is that there are a lot of times in our lives where we look at the promises of God and think, it's never going to happen. We become discouraged. But what is implied here is this. The Christian life is fraught with difficulties and hardships. There are going to be great struggles in our life. And there will be times in your life that you will just sort of, may even want to just throw the towel in. Say, it's not going to happen. These promises, and how many times I've heard people say this, yeah, these promises are true, but not for me. Not for me. They don't work for me. You ever felt that way? I know there are folks like that. And perseverance in this area is simply, I'm going to keep believing God's word. I'm going to believe regardless, I'm not going to give up hope. I'm going to believe that God is going to be true to His Word. He'll fulfill His promises. And what perseverance does is basically this. It enables us to lay hold of the things that God has promised to us. Look at, for instance, in Hebrews 10. For you have need of endurance. And that's the very same word as perseverance. So that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. That's what perseverance does. It enables us to receive what was promised. We have in Romans 8, for in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, through perseverance we wait eagerly for it. Wait for it. And of course, one of the big things we wait for and what we hope for is eternal life. Is eternal life. A place in heaven that He goes to prepare for us. Like what it says in Romans 2. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will repay each person according to his deeds. And look how He repays. To those who by perseverance in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, He will give eternal life. Now, implicit there is if you don't persevere in doing good, that you'll miss out on eternal life. Now, that's not to say that someone would become a Christian and then they don't persevere and they lose their salvation. We know you can't lose your salvation if you really have it. But what He's saying, and clear not only here but throughout Scripture, if a person fails to persevere in their Christian life, fails to persevere in the sense of believing God's Word and doing what He requires of us, that is just the proof he's never experienced God's saving grace in their lives. So this perseverance, again, is, as 2 Peter says here, is our way of making sure of our election, our calling from God. That's how important it is. Why is it so important? You may ask, why in the world does God make it so hard for us? Why do we have to jump through all these hoops? Why doesn't God go before us and sort of make the path clear? Why didn't He run interference for us and clear out all the obstacles and make it easier for us to live the Christian life? Why didn't He just go ahead and give us the things that He's promised to us? Why do we have to persevere? Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever seen kids that have been given everything on a silver platter? They've never had to work for anything, but they get this and that, and mom and dad are always protecting them, and this, they're just brought up in this little bubble. You know the result of that? They grew up lacking character. They don't know how to keep a job. They don't know how to work. They don't know how to do anything. They're self-centered, this and that. There's just a lack of character in their life. Well, look what Paul writes in Romans 5, and not only this, but we also celebrate in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And look what perseverance does. Brings about proven character. God is committed to our transformation. God wants His character to be evident in our life. And the only way that can take place is by us going through difficult times, us experiencing trials in our life, where we have to persevere. That's why He allows it. It's because He loves us. We've sung about His everlasting love. He loves us, and He loves us so much He wants to have an intimate relationship with us. And the only way we can have that relationship is by us becoming more like Him. So why is it so difficult then? Why is it so difficult? Why is it that so many Christians just sort of tire of this persevering and they just want to throw in the towel, or they just simply want to kind of coast along and so forth? You know, the reality is that we want things to be easy. We want to be happy, don't we? We want things to be easy for us. We don't want to have to work for things. You know, years ago there was a commercial on TV, Rolaids commercial. How do you spell relief? R-O-L-A-I-D-S. And Christians today, when we go through difficult times, we say, how do we spell relief? How do we get relief from this? And usually it is three letters, S-I-N. We're just going to abort the mission. We're going to just sort of forget about God temporarily, and we're going to do what we want to do because we want to be happy, and we don't want to have to suffer, and we don't want to have to persevere. That's why it's so hard. We really do want things to be easy. And the Christian life is not easy, and nowhere in Scripture do you find that Jesus promised it was going to be easy. There are going to be challenges there. There are going to be hardships. Matthew 13, you have the parable of the soils. Look what happens here. The one sown with seed on the rocky places, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. He simply said, this is too tough. This is not what I bargained for. I'm out of here. I'm checking out. And even the other one. And the one sown with seed among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, and the anxiety of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. These are folks who have a quick response to the gospel, who really want to be Christians. They want to jump on the bandwagon. But when difficulties come, persecution, affliction, or the world entices them and so forth, they say, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. And they bail. So how do you develop perseverance? How do we supply this? Well, the first thing you need to understand is this. Perseverance, like all the other qualities, are things that God gives to us by His grace. We're tapping into His resources. You have a verse, Romans 15. It says, now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus. He gives it to us. He gives us this quality. But I want you to understand as well what I've said before. These qualities build on one another. If you think about the quality we dealt with last week, think of it. It was self-control. Self-control, this quality that enables us to say no to our passions and lust and desires and so forth. Say no to self and basically have our actions under control. That's what self-control is. Is basically, I'm not going to be controlled by anything within me or any external factors here. I'm not going to be controlled by those things. I'm going to be in control. You know what perseverance is? Perseverance is just exercising self-control over the long haul. That's what it is. When every fiber in your body is screaming at you and saying, give up. Throw in the towel. You say, no, I'm going to keep going. Yeah, I was thinking of those that have, you run a marathon, or I was thinking of the Ironman triathlon. You know, here's a race in which you have 2.4 miles of swimming, 112 miles of bicycling, and 26.2 miles of running. Say, how in the world? How in the world do they do that? They just get up one morning and say, I think I'll do a triathlon. I think I'll do this Ironman. No, that's not how it happens. You know that. What they have to do, they have to start training. And they have to get out there and they have to run till it hurts. And then they run a little more. And they do that again. And as they develop this, as they push the pain threshold further and further back, they're able to go further. That's what God's doing with us. God allows trials in our life. And if we respond in faith with joy, count it all joy, as James tells us, if we do that, then basically we're developing this perseverance. If we go through a trial and we're whining and complaining and so forth, we're not going to develop perseverance. It's understanding these little things that God brings into our life. These little trials, annoyances. Those are the things that God's saying, listen, I'm getting you ready for the big race. I want you to persevere. If you can't persevere by believing my word, when little things happen, believing that I'm in control of this, that I'm causing this to work together for good. If you can't believe in this little thing, how are you going to believe when, in fact, things get harder? God wants us to be self-controlled all the time, but we have to develop that. We have to develop it. There's a little poem that I think kind of speaks to this. It's about two frogs. Two frogs fell into a deep cream bowl. One was an optimistic soul, but the other took the gloomy view. "We shall drown," he cried, without more ado. So with a last despairing cry, he flung up his legs and said, "Goodbye." Quoth the other frog with a merry grin, "I can't get out, but I won't give in. I'll just swim around till my strength is spent. Then will I die the more content." Bravely he swam till it would seem his struggles began to churn the cream. On the top of the butter at last he stopped, and out of the bowl he gaily hopped. What of the moral? 'Tis easily found. If you can't hop out, keep swimming around. I wonder what kind of frog you are today. Because I know that there are folks, even in our church, who are going through difficult times. I know it's hard. And you can begin to wonder, God, have you forgotten me? God, are your promises real for me? Am I going to see the fulfillment of these things? There's a tendency to want to stop, throw in the towel, and just say, I'll drown. The encouragement today is simply to keep swimming around. Keep believing God's word. Satan wants you to doubt it. That's what he did in the very beginning. That's how he works. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Has God said this? No, it's not true. And that's what he's been doing down through the ages. He's lying to us. He's deceiving us. He wants us to doubt God's word. Once we doubt God's word, and then it changes the whole trajectory of our lives. We go downhill from that point. So my encouragement to each of us today is cling to the word. Persevere, regardless of what we go through. God is faithful. God is faithful and will do all that he said he would do. Would you pray with me? Father, we have to confess to you that a lot of times we're pretty wimpy. Things get hard, or we just whine and complain and say how much we don't like it. And Lord, we just can pout a little bit, so much like the Israelites. We look at them leaving Egypt and going towards the promised land. Lord, I thank you for your promises. Your promises are true. Lord, you will do all that you said you would do. You allow trials to come into our life, things that test our faith. Lord, and we have a choice to make. Will we continue believing? Will we cling to your word? Or will we just lose sight of it, abort, and try to figure out things on our own? Father, keep us from that. Help us to be faithful to you. Certainly you are faithful to us, and we praise you for that. Lord, I realize that even our congregation, Lord, there are folks going through difficult times now. There are serious sicknesses. There are struggles people going through. Lord, it's hard, but I pray that you would give perseverance and you would give encouragement. I pray, Father, that we would continue to move towards that crowning quality of love that you want us to demonstrate so as to reflect your character to the world about us. So thank you for what you're doing. Thank you that it's not about us working hard, but it's us tapping into the resources that you've made available to us by your Spirit. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.